This is Shirley Kisler, and today is Wednesday, April 11th, and I'm in the office, Foster Financial Services, with my friend Larry Foster, and we're going to do an interview for the Decatur Public Library oral history section. Hi, Larry.
Hello, Shirley.
I think I know you more as young Larry Foster.
Well, sure. I used to have a flat top, yeah.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. More than a lot of people in Decatur know you. Tell me about growing up in Decatur.
Well, it was very interesting. The first place I lived, as you know, was 124 South 19th Street, so just off of Wood Street, about three doors to the north. And I was about 2.5 blocks from Rhodes School, which I walked to every day when I was in grade school. So that was the first memories I had. And we had a nice little home there, and it was a working class families that lived in there. Firemen, policemen, people that worked at Staley, a lot of the people took their own lunches and walked a few blocks to Staley every day, and that was kind of the type of neighborhood. It was very safe, and so I can remember a number of things. I mean, I remember the milkman that came by with the horse, like we had in the paper here a while back with the Tribune, and a horse that always knew where to stop in the driver of the vehicle, if you can call him a driver, was he didn't have to do anything. He'd just get out and he'd go and get in, and the horse would start up and go and stop at the next place, and the horse knew where to stop, and he never even had to say anything. And then the ice man would come by, and he'd bring the ice and bring it in and put it in the ice box because we didn't have a refrigerator. And then the man would come with the coal and put it down the coal chute into the basement. And, you know, that was when I was just a little boy, and I can remember with my three sisters, we had lots of friendly neighbors. And well, so that's kind of where I grew up.
Name your sisters.
Well, we got Karen, Brenda, and Tina, and they're all younger. And Karen right now is out in Colorado, and Brenda's in Missouri, and Tina's here in town.
That's nice.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
And I was nearby on 1800 East Prairie, and then over in 1429, and you and my brother ran around together.
We did, and we used to play marbles. And he used to tell me that I won more than he did. But anyway, I had a big bag of marbles, and I'd sell the marbles to my sisters for a nickel or a dime and win them back and then sell them to them again the next day. And
that sounds like the games we played. We didn't have
Didn't have much.
But it was always fun, and I always remember that. I think you were in my brother's wedding, too.
I was his best man.
So we go back a long way. All right, so then you went to Eisenhower with my brother, class of 60.
That's correct.
Dale, and yeah. I was 61 right behind you. Mm-hmm. And then you headed off to Millikan.
Yeah, I went to Millikan, 4 years there.
What'd you major in?
In business finance and marketing.
Were you an SAE?
Yes.
All right, you and Dale were both SAEs together.
You know, I can't remember if Dale was in just the 1 year. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it would have been, yeah. And I was there 4 years.
Okay, and graduated then in 64.
Yes.
Right. Then what? I lost you after that. Where'd you go after that?
Well, I was in Decatur for years and years, and I'm trying to think then, and I got involved in the JCs, and I got involved in a number of different community projects, and served on a number of different boards, the Decatur Memorial Hospital Board, and just a whole bunch of different things, and got involved in Rotary. And then it was in 1984 that I moved to San Diego, California, and opened another office, and I kept the one here. And
what was the office you had here? What was the office?
It was this very building and this very office we're sitting in.
Really?
And it was called Foster Financial Services Incorporated back then. See, my company's 40 years old now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so this is the 40th year. And so when I was out there, I was just doing the same thing, insurance and financial services out there, and came back and forth. Once a month, they used to spend a week here and 3 weeks out there, and then I did that for 3 or 4 years, and then I got real busy out there, so then I came back here less, and then when my former spouse left, I was single for 5 years in California by myself, and then the kids all grew up and took off, and so I was, you know, every time I'd come back to Decatur, I'd always feel so good. All the people I'd see and all the things I'd remember and so on. And so finally, one time heading back to California, I decided that I wanted to feel good like that all the time. So I just moved back in 1993.
93?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I remember your moving out to California. And where was that again you moved to?
In Rancho Bernardo, which is a suburb of San Diego, south of Escondido. And it was in a valley. It's very beautiful. It's inland from the ocean about 20 minutes or so. And it's the furthest part of San Diego you could have northeast part of San Diego.
Okay.
As far as you can go.
That is beautiful out there.
Yeah, real pretty.
And you had the same kind of business there, another Foster Financial out there.
Yeah, same thing, just another office.
But
yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
Because I remember you driving back and forth. Now, where were you?
I was flying back and forth. I didn't drive it back and forth.
Driving?
Never.
Oh,
well,
never.
Drove out and drove back 9 years later, but I never, no. I didn't know
in betweens.
No.
I remember that. I remember with your friend Steve High, that's how we would keep track of Larry Foster a little
well,
bit.
Well, it was like a 3.5 or 4 hour flight from St. Louis, but it'd be a 3 day drive. So, you know.
Okay. Now, were your children born here in Decatur before you went?
All of them were born here.
Now, how many do you have?
Well, we've got daughter Terry, who was born in '65, and Brent born in '66, and then Bart is born in. He's 42 now, so he'd been, what year would that have been? 76, I guess.
So was Terry the only one that went to Eisenhower?
No, Brent went to Eisenhower.
Brent went to Eisenhower, okay.
And Bart went out to California, who was Benji when he was here in Decatur. He changed his name to Bart, which is his given name. Mm-hmm. He was Bart Benjamin. And so on the way out to California, we were driving out, and I can remember looking over into the back seat, and I said, now this is your one chance that you can either be Bart, or you can be Ben, or you can be Benjamin, you can be Benji, you can be whatever you want. But I said, you got to decide what you want to be for the rest of your life, because nobody knows you out there, and they're not going to know, or it's going to be changed. If you try to change it here, it's going to be a hard indicator. So you think about it. And so we pulled into San Diego. I looked over into the back seat, and I said, what are you going to be? He said, I'm going to be Bart. And that was it.
What a good story.
Yeah.
That is good. And, of course, Terry was in my musicals at Eisenhower, so that was nice to know her and nice to catch up with her. So when you came back here, as I sit in your office, and I was there the night you were honored as the Rotarian of the Year.
It was the Sertoma Club.
Sertoma Club.
Yeah, it was the Service to Mankind Award.
That's right, and I was honored to be there with you.
Yeah.
And on that table were so many plaques, and I'm looking at them in the walls as we are speaking right now.
Yeah.
So you seem to volunteer a lot, Larry, and obviously you did that right after Millikan. You started that early, didn't you?
Yeah, I've done it all my life.
Why?
50 years or so.
Why?
Well, because I enjoy it, I enjoy helping the community. I enjoy meeting the people that are involved, and it's just a fun thing to do.
Well, I remember when you were on the city council.
Yeah, no, there's sometimes it wasn't so much fun on that.
Well, I was going to say, but that was seems like a thankless job, but I was always happy you were there. Were you considering running for mayor once upon a time? Maybe I just wanted you to be. Was that it?
Yeah, maybe. I never really seriously was going to run. When I was 35 and was running for the city council at the same time when Mayor Walton was going to run, he was concerned that I might run, and I never really thought about doing it, but he thought I might, and I did. I was the top vote getter that year as a councilman, but I didn't run for mayor. And there was some talk when Mike McElroy passed that I might come back or be asked or something, but that never happened, and I never thought about running. I enjoyed my service on the council for the 15 years I was on there, but I didn't really think about anything else. I will say that had I not moved to California when I was 40 or 45, I might have run for state office or something, but I wasn't here. So that kind of took that out. And so then when I came back, I'd kind of missed the curve on that. So I didn't do that.
And you really wanted to run for state office?
I would have seriously considered that. I don't know that I'd have won, but I seriously considered running.
That would be interesting, and I'd have voted for you right there.
There you go.
There. Have you seen a big change or indicator? Are things looking up, or is there something?
Well, there's a lot of promise in indicator for the future, but there are a number of things that aren't the way they were 50 years ago. we had lots of factory jobs. Wagner, CB&Q, General Electric, Morgan, Sashendor, Borg Warner. We have all these places that had lots and lots of employees. I mean, Caterpillar used to employ 5,000. They may only employ 1,000 or 1,500 now. So our jobs aren't here like they were. And the middle class isn't here as much as it was. And so in some ways it's kind of sad, but in other ways it's just reality that we're not the only community in the country that's that way. So we've adapted and we've changed, and we've fortunately got ADM and we've got Milliken and a number of other real valuable assets here. But we just have to kind of change as the country changes, as the culture changes. And there's always positive things. There's always good things. But it's just different.
And I think you're a fine example for this volunteer spirit. I think we're known for that indicator.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And we're known as a very generous community.
Right. Yeah. And someone said to me, they were talking about money that is given to the schools, money that's given to this organization and that organization. And they went over to Springfield and talked to them over there, and they said, well, they can't go to CAT, they can't go to ADM, because their number one employer is the state of Illinois over there in Springfield. And I thought, that's true about Decatur. You know, we are a city of volunteers, of people that like being here. And someone also said to me just the other day, I find that in Decatur, you make friends that last a lifetime.
Yeah, sure.
And I look at you and I, and if my brother were here, you'd probably still be friends, and a lot
sure,
of the friends.
Of
and I think that's interesting. Do you still have a lot of friends here that were hanging around 50 years ago?
Yeah, I've got a number of friends here, but a lot of my closest, I think almost some of my closest friends are other places now. And there are friends that I made here, and some are in California, some in New York, some in Florida, some in Texas, different places. But if they walked in the door, we would hug each other, and it'd be, you know, old times. But many of of my closest friends have moved or passed.
The passing part's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the moving, I know people say, well, I'm just going to where it's warm.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave Decatur. Now, exactly what do you do here at Foster Financial Services?
Well, we provide service for people in their several different areas. And the financial services is just what it is mutual funds, retirement plans, IRAs, various investments. But we do a lot of life insurance, disability income, long-term care insurance, and so on. So we do, I'd say the vast majority of my income has been from the purchase of life insurance policies over the years.
Okay, so you've been doing this for at least 50 years, and you still like it?
Yeah, I still enjoy doing it. And what I enjoy is the clients and the people and helping them. And I have 4 or 5 death claims a month, so I'm meeting with widows and survivors in a business where the 3 or 4 guys and one of them died, and they're collecting the benefits of the policies they purchased, and the widows are coming in wondering, how much do I get and what should I do and that kind of thing. So I'm really doing more counseling now than I am selling.
That's good. Well, no, and knowing you, I can see why people trust you. I mean, I think that's about the only compliment I'm going to give you today.
Okay, well, thanks.
That I like your kids.
Yeah, sure. Thank
but,
you.
But that's, I'm sure, has to be a measure of your success over all these years, because when there is something, Larry Foster's usually there.
Well,
and you are extending your hand and saying hello, and I have never felt that was anything but genuine.
Yeah, well, that's right.
Oh, well, we haven't mentioned your lovely wife, Debbie. I mean,
yeah,
she's always there as you are probably
sweet.
In volunteering.
Yeah, sweet lady.
And going.
Yeah, she's involved in a lot of things, too. The Oglesby Mansion Board and out of the Hospital Foundation Board at DMH and kind of things.
And she does that, too.
Yeah.
So where'd you get this volunteer thing? Were your folks like this? I remember your mom and dad. Were they doing a lot of volunteering? I don't remember the neighborhood parents doing that.
No, that wasn't that much. I mean, it was just, I think some people enjoy doing it more than others. And some are remarkably capable of doing it, but choose not to for whatever reason. They've got other things they're doing, or they're busy with their kids or grandkids or their other. But it's, for me, it's always been an easy thing to get involved. When I was in California, I was as involved there as I am here. I mean, I was president of the Rotary Club and on the board of the chamber and did all kinds of different things with the hospitals and fundraising events and organizing parades on the 4th of July and all that. I mean, I did everything. I was as busy as anybody that lived there for whatever period of time. I think it's the nature of some people enjoy being involved and some don't. I just happen to enjoy it.
I just had this epiphany. Is it because of your job and your success has to depend on people trusting you, knowing
it's all part of
it's
it.
It's all kind of led to
well, it's
that.
Part of it because in my business, when I got out of Milliken, if I had just sat in an office and waited for people to come in the door, it probably would never have happened. I'd probably starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of mine was a necessity to meet people and get involved, and I felt that that leadership and developing clients and so forth could be done by a lot of it through community service. So,
okay.
Yes, so it's kind of a leadership training through community service, and so I grew and became more of a person that could help by getting involved in all these things.
And then it makes your business do well.
Yeah, it helps your business.
Yeah,
it's not just done for business, no. But it helps it. Yeah,
but that makes perfect sense now.
Yeah,
because I have always wondered, why do you do all of this? Why do you give so much of your time? And it was like, okay, I got to meet. I have to meet people. And thus I have it. I've enjoyed it so much, so I'll go out and work on this committee. Yeah. And now it makes perfect sense to me. I'm glad we are doing this interview.
Yeah, because so it makes sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, are you a glutton for punishment? Or is that why you're doing all this to be gone so much? But then you say you enjoy it so much. And that's wonderful. I mean, serving on the city council is not easy. And going to board meetings and... How many meetings do you go to?
Well, not now. I've pulled off. I'm not involved in very many now. No, yesterday was an exception. I was chairman of a leadership breakfast for the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so with that, I had done that for a couple of years, and we raised about $20,000 to $25,000 with that one morning. The people would show up and they'd write checks and everything for the Boy Scouts, and so I enjoy that because I think the Boy Scouts are a great organization. So anyway, I laid off for a couple of years into it, and then back here you can see my grandson with he just got his Eagle Scout last year.
And whose son is that?
That's Laura's, who's right there, the lady on the right in the group of the five kids.
Okay.
That's Laura, and she's in Bloomington, and Zachary's now in college.
And there he is with all his scouting.
Yeah, see how proud he looks? And I kind of got back interested in helping. So this year I was chairman again of the leadership breakfast. We had Congressman Rodney Davis speak, and we had about 85 people show up for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And so far we've raised $23,000 in the one deal, and we'll probably get up to 30 this year, because what happens is a lot of the people that have come in the past that didn't come, when we send them a letter saying we missed you and we'd like you to help us, that we get some more checks. So we'll probably get close to 30.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that great? So that I feel good about that.
Yes.
I didn't have to do that. But,
no.
But I don't know of anyone else that could have got the people to come and write out the checks any better than I could have. And that's why I do it, because if there was somebody that was better, I'd have them do it. But I just believe and have a faith that I can make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People trust you, again, and know that you're sincere about it, which is great. And I was at the breakfast, and it was wonderful, and to listen to Rodney.
You were there yesterday.
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. And bringing the Boy Scouts out.
Yeah.
I thought that was wonderful.
Yeah.
And you made a comment that had such confidence in it. You said, I know we will raise a lot of money today for this good cause. And, okay, they believe you, Larry Foster. So you have pulled back, though. You just not so involved in everything, like Sir Toma?
Well, your brother and I, no, I was never involved with Sir Toma. They just recommended me. I'd never been involved.
Oh, because you do everything else.
Yeah, it was because of that. No, I'm a Rotarian, have been for about 45 years.
Now. Okay, you still do that?
Still do that. I was president of the Rotary Club out in California there in Rancho Bernardo, and I've been president of this club here.
Okay.
And I've attended a couple of international conventions, one in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and one in Seoul, Korea. You know, we went to Hong Kong, and we were actually at the Panmunjom at the border of the North and South Korea back in 1989. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Well, you have had some opportunities then leadership position.
See a lot of things, yeah. And then with my business, some of the companies that I work with, like the Mass Mutual, they have these conventions and stuff. And we've had conventions in Rome and in Venice and in London and Jamaica and Bermuda and all these different places all around the world. And so it's really been pretty wonderful. We've done a lot of traveling, and Debbie and I, the last 12 or 15 years, have taken many cruises all over the world into the Baltic and taken a train into Berlin and going into Russia and St. Petersburg. And we were, about three times the Monte Carlo to Venice trip in Italy, going all around the whole thing. And then the trip into Israel and Jerusalem and Turkey and Egypt, and all those are really very, very interesting, some of which I wouldn't want to do now, but we did lots of those. We've been to Alaska through the Panama Canal and all that stuff. So,
well, you are traveling. You don't have time for meetings. You got to keep traveling.
No, but I'm just saying, that's been...
That's fascinating stuff.
It's been really fun, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody says go while you can.
Well, you got to... Well, your brother and I are the same age, and I mean, we're moving down the road, and so,
Moving down the road, we still have a lot of energy left in us, Larry Foster.
Well, I hope so, yeah.
2017 here, and we're still kicking. But really, as I look at all of these plaques, what are you going to do with all of them when you retire? When are you going to retire?
I don't know.
Just when you feel like it.
Yeah, well, I'm slowing down now. I mean, I come in later and leave earlier, and we've taken a couple months a year off for some time with all these trips and stuff. But when I'm here, I'm usually working. But we just bought a condo down in Florida, so when the ice and snow is here, we'll probably be down there a little more,
On a beach.
Well, no, it's not a beach, but we're on a golf course, and there's water behind us and stuff, so it's pretty nice.
Oh, I know where you are, but I won't tell.
Well, that's
okay. I know it. That's okay. How many years have you been married now?
Let's see, 23.
Are you serious? It seems like yesterday.
Yeah, 23 years, yeah.
My goodness, the years are flying.
Yeah, they're flying.
Oh, and when you're naming all these trips, and then you said, and Deb and I went, I thought, you haven't been married but about 10 years.
No, it's 23.
Okay. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I agree.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I'm glad you're taking time and enjoy and thing. One day though, you're going to go.
Oh, sure.
I'm okay. I think I know. I think I'm done. Dale did that. Yeah. He just said, yeah. "I think I'm done now." I said, "I did the same thing. I just did a little earlier than y'all."
Yeah, right. Well, it's there's a time for everything. So
there is. Well, thank you for letting me talk to you and get you down for the future generations to be able to hear your voice.
Yeah,
and
you got any more questions?
I don't have. We just went through this. We've been talking for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And now, so no, unless there's one thing I didn't ask you and you want to share that with me. We covered everything. We just went. I even wrote Dale Marbles. And you covered that, and the fact Mom made you pancakes, and we did that, and we talked about, I know what I was going to mention.
I always thought a lot of your mom and dad.
Well, and I loved your folks. I mean, it was a good time to grow up. I know people say that, and it sounds a little silly sometimes, but
it was
good.
It was a good time.
High school was fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah, we love being together. Everybody loved being together. But this sense of dedication to others and volunteering, your daughter Terry has picked this up too, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's doing a lot of that.
And the volunteering.
My sons, and both of them have just been busy making money and doing stuff. I don't know that they've really got involved much in any community stuff that I'm aware of, but...
And what award?
And that's okay, but it just,
right. What award did Terry just win?
Well, she got. Was awarded the Woman of the Year in her congressional district by her assemblyman there in California.
In See, Sheila, does she live in San Bernardino?
She's in San Diego.
In San Diego, that's right.
But there's numerous facilities all over the state that she's actually the head of this group of 50 people that serve for all these different special need groups and stuff like that. And it's like a full-time job, but she didn't make anything. I mean, it's a volunteer, full-time job.
Yeah. Well, she seems to enjoy it and love it, but that sense of this is what we do. We just share our time and our talent. And Decatur has been lucky to have you in it, so I want to say that. So, okay, this has been my interview with Larry Foster, and it is April 11th, 2017.
It's actually the 12th, Shirley.
It's the 12th.
That's okay. You were close.
I was remembering the Cub Scout banquet. That's the date.
That was the 11th.
That was the date I had on my head. Okay, we're done here. Becky, you have your way with this. Okay. This is Shirley Kissler continuing an interview with Larry Foster on, and I'm going to get the date straight, Becky. It is April 12th, 2017.
Shirley, I want you to know that in 1843, that my relatives from England came to America, and John and Eleanor. John was born in 1795, and he brought Eleanor and their six children, and they left this home, which is east of the Lake Country, south of Scotland. And it's very beautiful there. And the road that's out in front of this home was called the Old Roman Road, which is this one, was built in the year 225. And this is one of the Roman bridges that is just down the street from this home. When the Romans occupied England, they left some of these things that stayed, including that bridge. But they were tenant farmers, and in England, if you weren't the oldest son, you didn't inherit anything. So you didn't have any property, and you didn't have any money to buy any property. So they were tenant farmers. They were shepherds, and there were sheep on this. I took this picture, my son did, about 12 years ago, and we were there to visit. And so anyway, they were disturbed enough to get on a boat in Liverpool, which we have a copy of the manifest that lists John and Eleanor and the six children, and they came to America, and I think they landed in Philadelphia or Boston, and that was before Ellis Island, so they just got off the boat and walked in.
Now, what year was it again?
1843.
Okay. I am looking at a beautiful picture of a brick home in Scotland.
And these are five of the children, and when they got a little older, Mary passed, but these are the five, and some of them were like 16 or 18 years old when they came over, but can you imagine the courage and the, it'd be frightening to think you're leaving all your friends and you're leaving everything. And it was way before phones or iPhones or anything. There's no contact. You knew that when you left, you'd never see anybody again that you left there, and you got on the ship. And so two of the brothers, when they got to Ohio, they worked for a shepherd there, and they met two of his daughters. There probably weren't very many ladies to pick from. So the two brothers took up with these two daughters, and they ended up marrying them. And so he had brothers marrying sisters. And so he got John and Eleanor. This is Rachel. John and Rachel here, and married. And there, John and Rachel. This is one of the foster boys. It's Joseph. And he married Mary. So we got Joseph and Mary Foster.
He was cranky looking. Larry, he looks cranky.
Yeah, this is John. This is Joseph here.
Look at that. He looks
cranky. Well, he looks a little better here.
Yeah, he's not quite as cranky. He got married.
And there you go. And he is buried, he and his wife, they're buried in Bethany.
Get out.
I know right where the stone is, and I can walk to it, a very beautiful stone. And Anyway, this is my relation here.
Where'd you get these pictures?
Oh, just over the years, acquired them.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And this is one of my relatives back. This is my great-grandfather, and it might be great-great, but Charles Boyd fought in the Civil War. You can see his gun and everything. And so he was on my mother's side. On my father's side. My father's mother was a Boyd, says him. Mm-hmm. And here you can see up.
Let me get back here. I'm in his office looking at pictures on the wall. Yeah. Who's that handsome devil?
That's Raymond, my father.
That is your father?
Yes.
Whoa.
Had quite a head of hair.
Beautiful
and
man.
You can see back in about 325 or so that the Romans left England. They pulled out, and this is the history of that particular area up here. And so when we went over to do this research, the newspaper actually did a story here.
Oh, I bet you could find this, Becky, in the history section. It's the Finding the Fosters. What's the date on this, Larry?
I think it's a couple or 3 years old.
Yeah, it looks recent. Well, if you just took that in 12. Okay, so it's got to be in there. Interest in pioneering family leads to ancestral journey. And this is your family up here, Larry?
Yeah, these people up here, this was taken over 100 years ago. And this is my grandfather and grandmother. And this is his father, who's the guy that was on the boat when he was 17 years old in 1843 and came to America. And his son is my grandfather.
Oh.
And this is Mr. Boyd, whose son was in the Civil War over here, and his wife. And this is a sister of my grandmother, and this is a Boyd here. And so and these, I don't really know these people.
And they're all gone.
Yeah, oh yeah, way gone.
Way gone.
Way over 100 years ago.
Oh yeah, picture was 100 years ago.
This was my grandfather.
Yeah, it looks like him.
Yeah.
It's a boy. Yeah, his little hat there. That is nice.
Yeah, so anyway, okay. That's a little history of.
Well, that's a lot of history. What's that? That picture up here. I'm looking at another picture.
This is the church that they went to. This was a house in town. A quarter of a mile down the road is the church. Up there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so that's kind of that. Then the other pictures over
in
there.
In Scotland.
No, in England.
In England. Okay. And this
south
house is in.
Scotland.
Oh, south of Scotland. Okay.
This is England.
Got
it's
it.
East of the Lake District.
East of the Lake District.
It's
okay.
West of York.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we can get that down for Becky. Wow.
And then these are the Cooper brothers down here who my mother, Corrine's mother, was a Cooper. And these are four Cooper brothers. And then Joseph Morton Cooper was born in 1820, and he's got a hold of his cane. And that's his cane right there.
How'd you get that?
Well, look at the picture.
Yeah, but how'd you get that?
My mom gave it to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Take a look at that picture. See what he's got all.
And there's Joseph Morton Cooper, February 2nd, 1820, through June 21st, 1914, in Derby, England. He has a cane, and the cane is on the wall right next to the photo. Oh, my goodness.
It's actually pronounced Derby. Derby, England.
Derby. Shirley pronounced it Derby, but that's the way it's spelled, but it's really the Derby.
Talk about some history.
Right in this room. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that is beautiful in England. That is beautiful.
These are a lot of the people that were born in Decatur that lived to be 100 or more. Some of them are in Painan, some from Bethany and different places. But all these were out of the Decatur paper, except for about six or eight, like Clement Stone and a few, but almost all of them are Decatur people. Dorothy Foster. And,
wow.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Why do you have that? Oh, who did that?
I did.
Okay, there's just little clippings in this huge frame of all these people that lived to be over 100. Fern Bellotti.
Nobody made it up there if they didn't make it to 100. I cut these out over a 14-year period and put them in a file. And one snowy day, I got a board and put them on there so that I could display them, because a lot of people buy income from me, and they want to know how long they're going to live or how long they're going to collect the checks. And I show them that ancestors, that a lot of people here have good genes, and so they collect for a long time. And then the other is that when they buy long-term care insurance, they may need it for a long time.
Excellent marketing tool, Mr. Larry Foster. Excellent marketing tool. Okay, we're done here. This is an incredible room here.